Grace to you and welcome to the DDP for the 22nd of April. I am Paul White. We are in Galatians chapter 4, verse 24. Really, we have to read 23 because 24 starts in the middle of a sentence. I've never liked that when the translators who go in and put punctuation, they're putting commas and periods. That's fine and dandy, and some of them, most of them are probably appropriately placed, and then they split verses in the middle of a sentence. It bugs me. Let's read 23 and 24. He who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. He of the free woman, born through promise, which things are symbolic. There's the end of the sentence, and it's the first four words of the 24th verse. We've been talking for days about how these are symbolic. Son of a bondwoman is Ishmael, son of Hagar. Son of a free woman is Isaac, son of Sarah. We will have these things confirmed in the next few verses. I'm giving you an insight that perhaps a Jew would have quickly gathered. We only gather it because we are, hopefully, students of the Old Testament. This is another reason why it's a really good idea to have an Old Testament knowledge. I think if there's been a failure in the community of grace, it's been a failure to properly elucidate the truths found in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament seems to almost be poo-pooed by some proponents of the finished work, as if it's all, since it's based by and large in another covenant, it need not be recognized or paid attention to. And yet I have found some of the most remarkable sermons on grace come out of an understanding of the Old Testament. How could they not? That was the Bible used by Paul. I mean, if you want to go verse yourself in the great teacher of grace, Paul, what would he have been reading? He would have been reading the old, what we call, he didn't call it this, but we call it the Old Testament. And these are those books from Genesis through Malachi that we have. And he had at his disposal other books. Yes, he had rabbinical tradition and he had rabbinical teaching. We have at our disposal other books. We have the Gospels, which Paul didn't use. We have the epistles which Paul was writing. We have the epistles of the other apostles. And so it is fair to say he had in excess at his disposal of what we have, and it would be fair to say we have in excess of what he had at our disposal. In both cases, it's good to go and dig out the symbolism, and that's what Paul is doing. Here is where Paul declares what these symbols are representative of. Verse 24, for these are the two covenants. The oldest Greek translation omits the word "the." That makes more sense to me that it omits that word, because Paul wouldn't, I don't think, claim that there are only two covenants. He claims these are two covenants. For these are two covenants, colon. He's going to show you in the next phrase what the two covenants are. Again, Paul would not insinuate there were only two covenants, though he, for purposes of this point and this story, pairs all of the covenants down to two. He does, again, not saying there's only two, but he's saying that these are two that are directly related to Abraham and directly contrasted to one another. And since Judaism and Christianity, and that's probably not the way Paul would have said it, but I'm saying it on 2,000 years later, Judaism and Christianity are probably in many ways closely related, like Ishmael and Isaac. We both trace ourselves from the same father. But Christianity was not, I don't think Christianity is birthed from Judaism the way some people do. I think Christianity is a, of course, it's an ethical system of morality. Some people like to say it's a religion, therefore I don't want to call myself a Christian. Whatever. I'm honest, frankly, I'm tired of debates that go nowhere. You don't want to call yourself a Christian, or you say I don't want anything to do with it because that's religion. That's fine. You have a moral code. You have a system of ethics. You may not like it that that is a religion, or you may not like it that that is Christianity, but you have nothing better to describe it as than relationship, and try the word relationship out on an unbeliever. That's they're not going to have any idea what you're talking about. They might have an idea what you're talking about if you say Christianity. And if you have to spend 45 minutes beating down the framework of Christianity in order to describe what you are, you need to ask yourself if you've yet to find what you are, or you just know what you're not. And I think that could be some vitally important information that we need. So Paul says it's two covenants, and here's what he calls them. One from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. That's verse 24. I'm not even going to try to give you 25 right now. I just want you to, for the rest of this podcast, until tomorrow, think about that first covenant. One from Mount Sinai gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. Hagar and Sinai are separated in the Bible by hundreds of years. For all intents and purposes, Hagar and Sinai have nothing to do with one another. However, Paul sees a similarity, that Hagar births out of her bondage a son of the flesh and a son of bondage. And to Paul, the best example of that he can find in the Bible is Mount Sinai. This had to be massively insulting to his Jewish brethren, because Sinai is the kickoff point of their entire Mosaic economy. And what Paul is saying is that in the greater scheme of things, our Sinai has less to do with Isaac and more to do with Ishmael, therefore less to do with Sarah and more to do with Hagar, and therefore less to do with promise and more to do with flesh. And that is troublesome if you've built your identity around Sinai. And believers who keep going back to Sinai to this day as some great representation of the character of God, I say to them, they have no concept of covenant. I still hear people say, oh, we're not under the law, but Sinai represents a holy God. Sinai is what God looks like. Wrong. Sinai is what the works of the flesh look like in keeping you in check. And there is no room for faith in the midst of the works of flesh keeping you in check. We will flesh this out a little more tomorrow. I'm enjoying the journey. We'll see you then. God bless.